Welcome, everybody, to the MMQB Gambling Podcast. I'm your host. Not really a host. I'm a co-host, but I have the intro, so I'll say host. Jimmy Traina with my co-hosts, senior editor of MMQB, Gary Grambling, his brother, managing editor of the DRF Sports Forum, Scott Grambling, week two in the NFL. I went 2-1-1 in my best bets last week. Gentlemen, how'd you guys do?
3-1 for me. And Gary?
2-2. Even Steven.
We all, look, I mean, you always have to throw the caveats in. We all had the Giants, right? And if they just, what were they, about a foot short of that two-point conversion, would have pushed. We got it at three.
And this is a gambling podcast, so we got to stick to the lines and all that. But NFL coaches still have no clue about when to go for 2 points. There was no way they should have went for 2 points.
We're so angry about that, Jimmy.
Because if you miss the two, you're down 5. Jacksonville comes down, kicks a field goal. Now you're down 8. You have to get a touchdown and 2 points. Just kick the extra point. Go down 4. There's 10 minutes left in the game. NFL coach is still clueless with the 2 points.
I would have gone for 2.
Clueless.
But I wouldn't have handed the ball to the guy who was out of breath after just running 80 yards or whatever it was. I know it was an 80-yard touchdown, but the amount of yards he ran to get into the end zone, I don't think you just hand it to the guy in the 2-point conversion. Anyway, cost me from a perfect week, right. But hey, we're moving
on. So I had winners with the Rams and Bears, push with the Broncos, lost the Giants. What were your picks, Scott?
I had the Rams, Panthers. And as half the free world knows, I loved the Chiefs.
And Gary, what did you have last week?
Oh gosh, let's get the Cardinals out of the way and never speak of it again. I had the Panthers and the I lost the Giants too. I had the Panthers as a winner, and who's my other one? That was
Giants.
The Rams, sorry. Yes, the Rams. Yep.
If you go back into the archives, Gary, the two teams Gary was on in the preseason were Arizona and Detroit. But we'll skip that. We'll get right to the Week two, Lions.
I'm jumping off one bandwagon, and it's not the Lions. All right. Sticking with the Lions for now.
That's a tease for the show. Speaking of the show, this is the MMQB Gambling Podcast. We're here every Friday. MMQB, though, their feed has podcasts every day of the week, except for Tuesday. You can check them out on themmqb.com, Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. So check out all of the NFL podcasts we have on SI.com throughout the week. And I, of course, have the SI Media podcast every Thursday. This week's guest is Gus Johnson, and it was a very good interview, so check all that out.
They're all very good interviews. You do a great job.
No, they're not all good. They're not all good. I rarely come away like, that was really good. Gus was really good, I have to say.
You pull some good guests, Jimmy.
I try.
You pull some good guests.
I try.
So podcasts, who doesn't love talking to this guy?
So podcasts all over SI.com. Gary's on a bunch of them, and probably on all of them talking about the Cardinal Lion NFC title game that he expects this season.
Monday morning, I was just softly weeping about the Cardinals.
All right, week one in the books. Week two is here. And this is, I think, always the trickiest week of the betting season. Because
you said that last week, Jimmy.
No. Week one, you like to lay low to see what the teams are doing. Week two, though, is all about the overreaction to week one.
The false confidence,
yes. And you throw out everything you thought before week one, all based on what you saw last week.
No, we throw out everything that Gary thought before week one. And the rest of us move on.
I will mention Arizona and Detroit about 5,000 times in the next 40 minutes. All right, let's get it going. Week two in the NFL, we started off with the Redskins blasted Gary's Arizona Cardinals last week, giving 6 points at home to the Colts. Big total here, 47.5. Gary, I'll let you get it rolling since I keep teasing you about Arizona and Detroit. Washington -6 versus Indy.
Yeah, not crazy about this one. I'm curious to see the game flow here. I mean, Alex Smith is a game flow dependent quarterback. If they have to play from behind at any point, they're going to be in some trouble. I mean, look, the Colts aren't a defensive juggernaut, but you put Andrew Luck out there against what's an interesting but sort of mismatched Redskins defense, I'd say. I wouldn't be surprised if the Colts jumped, maybe 10 points in the first quarter type of thing. I could see that scenario. Like I said, I'm not crazy about it, but with the 6-point spread, I'll take the Colts and the points.
And Adrian Peterson, reborn in Washington after week one, there's an overreaction people I think are going to have. Scott, I'm sorry, what are your thoughts?
I'm glad we're starting with this game. I thought this was the hardest game on the card to pick. I just, I'm not sure which way it'll go. Therefore, I will take the points. Don't love it. It's a game I'm staying away from. I think there's still too much uncertainty because of the amount of turnover for both teams in the offseason. And I do count Andrew Luck as turnover. I know he's been their quarterback for several years, but because he didn't play last year, you know, let's see if he's for real. That was kind of a fluky game a little bit to a degree with the Bengals last week. So I'm taking a wait and see approach with these two teams, staying away from it. If I had to take it, I'd take the Colts because of the points.
The line here is high with six, but I thought the Colts were one of the worst teams in football before the season started on our podcast, which you can find in the archives where we did over-unders for the season. I said under 7.5, even if Andrew Luck is healthy. So I think the Redskins win the game, whether they cover. Like you guys, I don't know about the line. Six is high, but I don't think the Colts are very good at all. So let's go on to the second game, and it's one of the better games of the week. Carolina, big win against the Cowboys at home last week. They visit the Falcons. Falcons at home giving 5.5, total 44.5. Scott, what do you got?
Love the Falcons. I absolutely love the Falcons in this one. Falcons, this is a head-to-head series that has been dominated by the home team in recent seasons. And you look at the Falcons, what they've done against the Panthers, 8-2 at home in the last 10 between these division rivals. Seven of those eight victories have been by 7 or more points, so I'm not afraid of laying the points here. That includes victories by 15 and by 12 the last two seasons. I know I was all over the Panthers last week, and I was all over the Panthers last week because of the matchup, because the weakness of the Panthers is their secondary. We talked about it on the show last week. Dallas did not have the personnel to hurt the Panthers where they're most weak, which is in the secondary. Atlanta does. Julio Jones, last six games against the Panthers, has averaged 137.3 receiving yards. I think this is a case where the Falcons will hurt the weakness of the Panthers, which is the secondary. I think the Falcons look so bad in the Thursday night opener offensively. I think there's going to be some overreaction there to them. And I just think that having the extra 3 days to rest is going to be a key here. Now, I think naysayers might say Deion Jones is out, Keanu Neal is out. The defense is still fast, and I don't think Carolina has the kind of offense that can hurt Atlanta's defense. Atlanta's defense is still solid, not as solid as it was going into the season because they lost to those two guys. But I love this game. I love the Panthers laying the points. And
you mean the Falcons.
I'm sorry. I love the Falcons laying the points right against the Panthers. Thanks for correcting me there. And, I just think it's a great pick, and I also do like when it all matches up, taking in week two, an 0-1 team going against a 1-0 team, and this matches up here. Falcons are the better team. They perform better at home in recent years against the Panthers. There's just so many reasons to back the Falcons in this one.
Gary?
Yeah, I actually I had the Falcons until Deion Jones went down. I switch over to the Panthers.
So you're gonna say I had the Falcons until I just heard all that. Now I'm switching
no,
over.
No. I'm going Carolina here. Those injuries terrify me. Deion Jones and Keanu Neal. I mean, that is essentially the heart of your defense, especially your run defense with the undersized defensive line they have there. Panthers want to run the ball. We'll see. I mean, it was a lot of. A lot of bells and whistles with the option game in week one, and you know, once that stuff's on tape, it becomes less effective. But on top of that, look, I think Matt Ryan is going to be fine. I think Thursday night was an aberration there, but I don't know. I don't know if they're ready to pick it up right now. I think the Falcons maybe this is one of those games. Panthers grind it out a little bit. Maybe Falcons win by a field goal in the end. I thought the 5.5-point spread was too much for me, though.
I'm right there with you. I think that line is high, 5.5. You know, evenly matched teams here. Would I bet this game? You'll have to wait for the best bets, but I love getting 5.5 with a good Carolina team. And Steve, I'm at the point now where I might bet against the Falcons just based on their offensive coordinator, because Steve Sarkisian is completely lost now in the red zone. He had a year to fix it and didn't fix it, as we saw in the opener against the Eagles.
You guys are going to regret this. I'm just telling you.
No, I didn't say I was betting it. All right. I'm just saying.
No, you're going to regret not betting it the way that you should be betting.
Story of my life.
I was just saying, the two guys the Falcons have replacing Jones and Neal, I mean, they are incredibly small. Yeah. They are they're sub-packaged all the time now. Panthers want to go big. They want to try and ram it down your throat. So we'll see. Yeah. That's a tall order for Duke Riley and Demonte Casey, who's a 180-pound strong safety.
All right, next game on the board. I don't know if our producer extraordinaire Harry can play the trumpets. But we have some sad news. The Nathan Peterman era is over in Buffalo. And Josh Allen will get the start.
It might just be on hiatus. I mean, we thought it was over after the first half of the Chargers game last year.
It was over before it started, believe me.
It should have been over after five interceptions in the first half last year against the Chargers on the road. Let's be honest.
So Allen gets the start in Buffalo. The Bills are getting 7.5 points from the visiting Chargers as they come across the country after getting spanked by the Chiefs. Total in this one is 43.5. Gary.
I'm going Chargers in this one. They were all right when they had to come east last year in those early games. I mean, they. I want to pull it up real quick. Of course,
the one thing about coming east, you know, the one thing is, I think that used to be a bigger factor than it is because now, I mean, these guys are on planes that teams, you can't even or hotels basically. The travel isn't that bad.
Teams do a much better job managing it than they used to do. I've been to the league office where they build the schedule and they have all these signs all over the room about body clock and stuff like that. They came east. They beat the Giants for their first win last year. They hung with the Patriots. That was my favorite play of the year was Travis Benjamin running a punt into the end zone for a safety, which ended up costing him the cover in that game. And they took Jacksonville to overtime in a game that they botched on the special teams again,
because
that's what the Chargers do. In the end, look, I like Josh Allen as a prospect. I think he might be a superstar in 5 years. This Bills offense is not functional. They cannot do it. The only way they hang around in this game is something like fluky special teams plays, weird turnovers, stuff like that. Chargers will serve those up, but I'm not betting on that.
The Chargers played so poorly last week, and I mentioned it last week once again. Joey Bosa out. If they were playing a real team, that might concern me. But it is the Buffalo Bills and a rookie quarterback who I don't love as a prospect. But Scott, what do you got on this one?
Yeah, I don't like either side of this game. If I had to take it, I would take the Bills. It's just too many points to be laying on the road with a team I don't think is that good. And I won't go back into it. I went into it last week with the Chargers. And, you know, a mediocre team laying more than a touchdown on the road against any NFL team. And jury's still out on whether the Bills are an NFL team. But they do qualify as one at the moment. So, staying away. If I had to take it, I'll take the Bills.
Total here, maybe it's me. Let's know what you guys think. 43.5 seems high for a team like Buffalo, which you don't expect to score many points at all. I mean, yes, I did say Bosa's out, but even how many points are the Bills going to put up this week?
If I had to bet, I'd take the over.
You would?
Yeah. I think it just feels to me like a very mistakey Keystone
Turnovers,
Cops type of games.
Six here and there.
And you know, somebody's gonna be dropping punts and stuff like that. It's gonna be an ugly, sloppy game, but not in a defensive battle kind of way. Yeah. I think in a more ineptness kind of way. And that often leads to overs because of a lot of mistakes where you should not be making mistakes.
Yeah, I mean, Allen is boom or bust. I think they score any touchdowns are gonna be of the 40 or 50 yard variety, and it's probably gonna be a lot of turnovers too.
All right, let's move on to a little division battle here. The Texans, 2-point favorites on the road at Tennessee. What a rough Sunday for about 87 hours in Miami. Total 44.5, Scott.
I'm going with the road favorite here. I am taking the Texans. It just, what a horrible first week for the Titans. I don't want to, I really try and stop myself from overreacting to the first week, but, you know, not a lot of positives to take away from that game. And I just think when you look at the Texans and the kind of upside they have, I feel like, you know, they've had the Titans number in recent years, 11-3 against the spread in games played against Tennessee since the start of 2011. You know, for those reasons, I'm leaning a little more than slightly toward the Texans here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going Texans. I'm going a little bit stronger than the Texans here. Like Scott said, terrible first week for the Titans. Terrible summer for the Titans. A new coaching staff in there.
That's a good point.
Their entire defense has been it's not the devastating, you know, it's not the headlines of, oh, torn ACL, all this stuff. They had four draft picks. Their first two draft picks were both hurt all summer. They can't get on the field. You know, Morgan's banged up. Arakpo's banged up. They are severely running behind on defense with where that defense should be.
And on offense, they lose Delanie Walker last
week. Delanie Walker out. Delanie Walker is the focal point of that offense.
Which is a problem, but yeah, you're right.
Yes. They're in trouble here. Bill O'Brien 7-4 against the spread versus division opponents on the road, and 4-0 as a road favorite as the Texans head coach. So I'll go Texans on this one. Nice little bounce back game for Houston as well after a sloppy start in New England.
This is probably the game I have the least amount of feel for all week. I think the Texans are better. But, you know, given two on the road here, who knows how Tennessee is going to react? Gary's right. Injuries on defense, Delanie Walker out. We'd tell you Houston -2 is the play, but not a game I don't love. This game is very interesting to me. I think it definitely will be one of the more fun games Sunday afternoon. Chiefs with that high-powered offense, and I know Scott's chomping at the bit, but I'm going to drag this out. Keep him waiting. The Chiefs, a juggernaut, visiting the Steelers, who come off that tie with the Browns. Steelers -4.5, big total, 53. I'll tell you right now, I'm betting the over. Scott, we'll let you get it rolling because the Chiefs are your team. Go ahead.
The Chiefs are my team. I don't love this spot, though. I really don't like this spot. I feel like back-to-back road games is a tough spot. Since the start of 2009, a week two road team that had to play on the road in week one, 6-24 straight up. And the average money line on that was less than +110. So those are, you know, and the average final score, the point differential was 7 points. So the home team won by an average of 7 points in those 30 games. I think this is a Steeler team that is tough at home, and I think it's a tough spot for a young quarterback. So because of that, and you know how much I love the Chiefs, I'm leaning ever so slightly to the Steelers on this.
That's got to hurt.
You know what? You have to look at it week in and week out, and I do love the Chiefs. I loved them last week. I love them in the division because they dominate the division, but I think this is a very tough spot for them, and I do feel like the Steelers are going to – that was kind of an aberration, that game against the Browns. I feel like the Steelers sort of packed it in after 50 minutes and the bad fumbles at the end and all that. The Steelers should be every bit as good as the Chiefs, and with the home field advantage, it's a tough game. I wouldn't play the game. If I had to, I would go with the Steelers.
Gary?
Yeah, I'm going Steelers. I will say the only thing that gave me pause is the Joe Hayden injury, and I wonder if that sort of limits what the Steelers are going to be able to do defensively. Andy Benoit and I talked about this on the Deep Dive podcast.
What day of the week? Plug it properly.
There you go. It's coming out. It already came out. Today's Friday. Yeah. It's already out.
Check it out.
It's a fast week when you get into the season.
Yeah, it's you know. To beat Mahomes right now, I think we have to do is it's disguise coverages, it's exotic blitzes and stuff like that. That's not what the Chargers do. That's not their defensive profile. That is what the Steelers can do, but with Hayden out, they can't cover. I mean, they can't cover Tyreek Hill.
Sorry, you know how much I love Mahomes. I just love that. To beat Mahomes, it's so great because, you know, we're already talking about him like that. You know, in his two previous NFL starts,
in the larger picture, that's how you beat any young quarterback.
Oh, I hear you.
You show him new stuff, and you know it's not the speed of the game that gets to young quarterbacks. It's the new stuff they see that they don't see in the preseason because no one does it there.
I just love the level of respect that he is getting. I don't have my Mahomes jersey yet, but it'll be soon.
No, you guys remember last year after Ben threw the five picks against Jacksonville and everyone said Ben's done. Ben was not done right. if you didn't follow the rest of the season after that. Look, it's going to be a beautiful day in Pittsburgh. Steelers are going to they're going to roll up points here. I'm a little bit nervous about the over, though, Jimmy, because what the Steelers have done the last few times they played the Chiefs, they get in those three receiver packages, the Chiefs have that sort of small front that they put up, and then the Steelers just ram the run down their throat.
Listen, I think this is going to be up and down points, whether it's running, passing. The -4.5 for the Steelers, I don't have a feel for, but over 53, I think this game's got, you know, 37-28, 34-30 written all over it.
It's the Mahomes factor. Say it, Jimmy.
But it's not just Mahomes. I mean, the Chiefs have weapons all over the place. I think the Chief defense stinks. I don't think the Steeler defense, everyone thinks the Steelers have one of the top defenses in the NFL.
No.
I think we're going to see on Sunday that, you know, you're going to be able to move the ball on Pittsburgh. I see nothing but points in this game. I don't see many defensive stops in this one. So I like the over, big number. And when you have a big number like that, it usually scares off some people. That's when you go over. Just a little tip for you there.
Yeah, that's good.
All right. This game here is very interesting. I'm going to contradict myself when I analyze this game, but the Jets are at home giving 3 points to the Dolphins. The total is 43.5. The reaction to the Jet win on Monday night, to me, is over the top for one reason. Darnold played great. You want to say the Jets have a quarterback, Darnold's the future. I have no problem with that. But then when you come out after the game and you say you knew every play that was coming, well, then you should blow out the team. So let's relax a little bit with how bad they beat the Lions. Having said that, I love the Jets -3. At home, rookie quarterback, crowd's going to be fired up. I don't think the Dolphins are any good. I mean, they beat a bad Titans team at home with, you know, rain delays all over, big deal. You're only laying a field goal at home. That crowd's going to be insane. And the Jet defense is good. I love the Jets -3 in this game, although it's not based off of last week. Like I said, you don't want to go crazy off week one. So it's not based off blowing out the Lions. And again, take the blow out of the Lions with a grain of salt because the Jets got 5 interceptions claiming they knew every play. So you're supposed to win that game. So I'm all over the Jets here. Scott?
I like the Jets here. I don't love the Jets. I don't like them as much as you here, Jimmy. I just... And for the reasons you pointed out, I don't know what to read into that first game. It's almost like once you start hearing like, yeah, we knew the plays, it's like, all right, I guess I have to wait to see if this team really is any good. I do think that they are a field goal better at home than the Dolphins. Right. And for that reason.
For Darnold to play the way he did after that pick six on the road showed me something. Crowell ran the ball very well. I think he's been an underrated back his whole career. So I do like the offense there.
Don't get me wrong. Absolutely. You know, interestingly, there are some books, mostly offshore, that will open the line before the Monday night game is played.
Okay.
And it was opening there at Dolphins by 1.5.
Right. I saw Dolphins -1 initially on that.
Yeah. So, you know, just the line is where it should be.
Yeah.
You know, I think without question.
Yeah, the
but
Dolphins
it's
are
just
not
kind
a
of
better
interesting.
Team than the Jets.
Yeah. So the no, they're not. They're not. Yeah. And I think we can leave it at that. Yeah. And that's why I'm leaning Jets. No, I mean, you know, but that being said, I don't think anybody here would be shocked if, you know, we're sitting here next week and recounting a Jets-Dolphins game that the Dolphins won 24-16.
No.
I'm not saying that that's my prediction.
I was going to say, hopefully we won't be doing that. That would be a terrible podcast. I'm leaning Dolphins on this one, and not strongly. I was hoping this line would keep on growing in the Jets' favor. So the 3 is a little bit, you know, that'll make me standoffish. But Adam Gase is my co-pilot in life. Gase is the kind of guy who keeps these designer plays in his back pocket, and if you're gonna break any out, this is the game, like we talked about during the preseason, this is the battle for second place in the AFC. excuse me, AFC East, not the AFC.
Sure, that'd be great if CBS bills it that way.
What a selling point.
It is.
Selling point.
That's why we're doing a podcast about it next week.
The division's so bad, we know the Patriots going to win, and the Bills are so shitty, here's the game of the week to determine second
place.
But
these really are, in the AFC, these are two wild card contenders.
Right.
So if you're Miami, you can steal this game on the road. Look, game and a half lead over the Jets. You're going to get him in Miami later. I think Gase is going to keep some stuff in his back pocket and break it out this week. But like I said, I wish it just crawled to like 3.5, 4, 4.5, something like that.
That would be a little much. Nah. I like how you say Gase has these plays. His quarterback is still Ryan Tannehill. Just remember that.
It is. I'll just say this. My favorite Gase play was, you remember when they almost upset the Seahawks a couple of years ago early in the season?
Yeah, in Seattle.
I think it was the opener, actually.
It was week one.
It was. Gase ran this play for Kenny Stills that he had run variations of it over the course of his career. It was literally a play that he probably had in his back pocket for years and was going to break it out at a big moment, and he broke it out. comes wide open, no one's near Kenny Stills, and he drops the ball. And what would have been a game-winning touchdown?
And this would be a big moment in second place in the AFC.
This would. You never forget a game like this.
We've talked so too much about Jets Dolphins.
I've already forgotten about
it. All right, here we go. This will be a week two overreaction game for sure. The Eagles giving 3 into Tampa Bay. Fitzpatrick has the total in this game and now at 44. Gary Gramley, what's going on?
I hated this game. I'm leaning Bucks only because I think it's part Foles is a pumpkin again. I don't want to overstate that. I think he's still he's fine. He's fine. They just don't have weapons right now. Bucks are better defensively. I know they gave up a lot of points last week in what was relative garbage time against obviously what's a very good offense. I think the Bucks hang around in this one though. As we see, I mean Fitzpatrick is. Some research scientists should create the quarterback playmaker scale, and it's going to be the Rodgers-Peterman scale. On one end, you have Rodgers. The other end, you have Peterman. These are the guys, the total boom or bust guys. Fitzpatrick obviously leans more Peterman for the most part, but like we saw last week, good Ryan Fitzpatrick can put up a ton of points. So I'm leaning Bucks. I'm not crazy about this. I think there's too much volatility on both sides here.
Scott?
I don't know, Gary, how you can say the Eagles don't have weapons in the passing game. Didn't Nelson Agholor have like 22 catches for 24 yards in the season opener? I mean, I've never seen a passing game that's 2 yards in a cloud of dust, but that's what it was. I'm leaning slightly to the Eagles here. I just don't believe in the Bucks. I don't know what happened. I can't explain what happened week one. Yeah, I normally look. I like road dogs early in the season. I cannot pull the trigger on the Bucks here, and I do think that the extra time, you know, having the extra few days off, does make a difference. And I don't love the Eagles, but that's who I take.
If we would have done this podcast 2 weeks ago,
yep,
and you would have seen Eagles -3 at Tampa Bay, you'd be all over it, all over it. Now, Ryan Fitzpatrick goes crazy in New Orleans, and it's, you know. Oh, this could be close. No. Back down to earth for Ryan Fitzpatrick this week. 24-6 Eagles.
So you like the under there, huh?
I don't think the Bucks are going to score. The 48 points last week, you said it perfectly. Cannot be explained.
Correct.
No, listen, Mike Evans is a big-time receiver. DeSean Jackson. They have weapons that, yeah, but I feel like Gary disrespected the Eagles in his little summation there. Yeah, maybe the offense is this. The Eagles won the Super Bowl. They came out week one. Everyone was all over Atlanta. They came out and won that game. And I don't see them getting tripped up in Tampa Bay against Ryan Fitzpatrick. That's just me. I love this next game, not from a betting standpoint, but just to see what happens since we just talked about the Bucks. We go right into New Orleans. They get back-to-back home games to start the season. Saints giving 8.5. To the undefeated Cleveland Browns. Total here through the roof, 49. Scott, your thoughts on this AFC-NFC battle?
Yeah, I like a big bounce-back game from the Saints. They're the far better team. And, Jimmy, I'll kind of play off what you were just saying. If, you know, sitting here, what, 7 days ago, 8 days ago, and you said week two, you'd be laying less than double digits with the Saints at home against the Browns. Do you like it? Yeah, I like it a lot. And if you can't explain it from a Buccaneers perspective, you can't explain what happened from a Saints perspective, you can explain that they dropped 40 points on a below-average defense, and the Browns are also below-average defense, although Myles Garrett did look good in that swampy wind and rain.
He looked very good.
I like the Saints here. I just think you can't be afraid of the number, and you can't overreact to week one. It's just not that many points for a team that was considered top five going into the season against a team that was considered bottom five going into the season. And it's not like the Browns really showed
you a ton.
Well, I
don't know about the bottom five. That bandwagon got filled up with the total went to 6.5 for the, you know. I think,
from my perspective, they're bottom five.
Well,
that's all that matters, right, Jimmy? I mean, let's be honest.
That is true. But I do think, like you said, if you saw that line 2 weeks ago, you're salivating basically with the Saints at home, not even giving 10.
Sure,
Gary, what do you got?
Oh, I love the Saints in this one. If you ask the Saints defense as a team, what was the easiest game you had last year? It was when they went to Buffalo and faced Tyrod Taylor. They just said, we're going to keep him in the pocket, make him beat us that way. He couldn't do it. That was of course, 47-10, and you know why the Bills got that 10? Nathan Peterman leading the touchdown drive. That was...
What, did someone drop a pick and a deflection?
No, everybody left the building.
I was going to say, that's what got him to start next the following week against Chargers. But this is the thing with the Browns. You kind of wondered, okay, new quarterback, Tyrod is getting the start. Are they going to roll out some wacky option-type stuff or something creative with Tyrod? They didn't. They had some creative stuff in the passing game, but they built the offense for Baker Mayfield, clearly, and now... Why don't they play Baker Mayfield? That's another conversation about the questionable decision making of the people running the Cleveland Browns. But they don't have an offense that can beat the Saints defense. They're going to play it the same way the Bills played it a year ago, where they're going to try and win the turnover margin by such a great gap that you can get a 6-1 turnover advantage and then tie a team at home. Is Drew Brees going to throw 4 interceptions in this game? I guess that's a possibility. And then I could see the Browns hanging around. But I mean, if this line was 18.5, I'd still be intrigued by the Saints.
Bold statement. I'll just say this. I'm gonna go real hardcore X's and O's football analysis here.
Nice.
I will not bet this game. If I had to bet it, I'd bet the Browns only because everybody and their mother, like these two gentlemen, are betting the Saints and love the Saints. Gary's laying 18.5. So that means bet the Browns. All right. Let's move on.
Take the Browns in the 18.5. Yeah. But...
And then take the 8.5 too. Yeah. Everyone in America will bet the Saints on Sunday. So you know what that means. The Rams coming off their Monday night victory in Oakland, laying 13. This is the biggest line of the week for all the people still in survivor pools after the Saints eliminated most human beings. Rams minus 13 at home against Gary's Super Bowl team, the Arizona Cardinals. The total is 45.5. We'll let Gary start with his Arizona team.
I just want to clarify on this for anyone who's listening for the first time here. Lions were my dark horse Super Bowl team, and I thought the Cardinals were gonna blow away their 4.5 win total. I am kind of rethinking that, but I am going Cardinals. I'm going Cardinals in this one as sticking around. I mean, look, division opponents, Rams coming off the late Monday nighter.
I can see in your face you're struggling to even come up to the reason for the reasons why to pick the Cardinals.
I will say, and we're going to talk about the Lions in a little bit, but the Cardinals I thought were the most disappointing team of Week 1. They didn't show up, and that is terrifying with the new coach there and all that. So I fear for my Cardinals win total life there. But division opponents, Rams playing the late Monday game. I think the Cardinals can stick around in this one. That's the nicest thing I can say about them. So that's why I'm taking the 13
points.
I have
a feeling if they don't stick around, we'll never hear you pick the Cardinals the rest of the season.
I'm taking the points here, too. I don't have a ton to say on this. I just think it's a lot of points, team coming off the late Monday night game. And I think there's some week one overreaction a little bit to the spread here. I think that when you look at the way these teams, divisional rivals, I just think they're going to play a relatively tight game. Not, a 3-point game, but certainly a 7 or 10 point game is too many points.
The Rams are basically put up 50 here, but I'll get to that when we get to best bets. All right. Here's one. We'll go right back to Gary's adopted teams this year. Mm-hmm. San Francisco 49ers, Jimmy G, rough week one against the Vikings. -6 at home to the Lions. Total here, 47.5. Hopefully the Lions will not be letting Jimmy G know which players are coming. Gary?
I was going to say, Matthew Stafford, that's what it was with the plays. Matthew Stafford asked him tells at the line of scrimmage. That's how the Jets caught on there. Let's see if the 49ers
will they
can
fix
do it.
That this week? But Matt Patricia get his pencil out of his ear and fix the play calls?
Yeah, that pencil on the laminated play sheet will have all the answers.
In all seriousness, 6 is, big,
six,
a little bit of a large
6 is
line.
A big number. I'm going Detroit in this one. I'm going to tamp down the confidence in my Detroit Lions at this point. But I'm going Detroit in this one. When it comes down to it, 49ers banged up on offense. Jimmy was fine. He was not Jimmy of last year. He's missing a little bit high and wide, a little bit. So we'll see. You know, right side of that line is banged up. Let's see if Marquise Goodwin is back. They're still figuring things out at running back. But I just want to point out, Lions, even though the Jets knew their plays, that was a 17-17 game 5 minutes into the third quarter. It fell apart when they had to start forcing the ball down the field, and then it turned into interceptions, and then it was Matt Castle time, and et cetera. But, yeah, I'm going with Lions.
The definition of a silver lining. Scott, what do you got on this game?
I'm taking the Lions as well. Don't love it. Kind of like it. I'm sort of in between there. I think it's too many points. I don't think the Lions are as bad as they showed. And I just don't think at this point the 49ers should be favored by that many points. Let's see them, you know, kind of in that role. So, yeah, you know, don't love it. Kind of like it. I do think the Lions are significantly better than they showed, which I know isn't saying much, but it is saying much when you're playing against 49ers and getting that much points.
Thanks for backing me up, brother.
Yeah, I really hesitated to do so, but I got to go with you on that one.
All right, we go to the game of the week now, 425 CBS. Most of the country gets this one. The Jaguars coming off their victory against the Giants at home. They are getting a point from the New England Patriots, total 45.5. I would assume the boys here have plenty to say about this one. Scott, take it away.
I just don't see how, and Jimmy, I'm sort of echoing things you've said in recent weeks, right? Mm-hmm. Until proven otherwise, why would you try to bet against this quarterback-coach combination? And would I be shocked if the Jaguars win this game? No, I wouldn't be shocked if they win this game.
Lions only one.
But, I mean, you just look at what's happened in recent history, and I don't see any reason to believe strongly enough that the Patriots aren't going to find a way to win this game. If you want, you know, some recent history numbers to back it up, against AFC South opponents, last 21 games against AFC South opponents, they're 21-0.
Wow.
Straight up, 14-7 against the spread. Straight up is even more relevant in this one because it's pretty much a pick 'em game. I just think that, you know, you look at the Patriots, they're better on the road than they are at home, if you can believe that, but it is true. I mean, they're 11-1 straight up, 9-3 against the spread away from home against AFC teams since the start of 16. There's just so many things pointing in that direction, and I'm not, and what's on the field as well. I just feel like they're going to stop the running game, and they're going to put the ball in Bortles' hands. They did it in the AFC title game last year, and the Jaguars could have, and in some ways should have, won that game. But I think they're going to take their chances with it again, and I think you'll see Bortles, he's not going to have the game of his life, and I think he did in the AFC title game, and they still didn't win it. So for all those reasons, yeah, I'm taking the Patriots here.
I wouldn't bet this game. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to enjoy it. I wouldn't bet it. The one thing I would say is I think last week in picking the Giants, I underestimated and disrespected the Jaguar defense a little bit. The Jaguar defense is very good.
That was a crummy day out, too, though.
Yeah.
You know,
but that defense is legit. They played
totally
really well.
Legit.
And, you know, this is a good test for them with New England coming in week two. If they win this game, we know that, you know, they're set up now for the rest of the season. But, again, I will rarely, if ever, bet against the Patriots. So I would stay away from this one. Gary?
I'm going with the Jaguars lean here. I think this is their Super Bowl in week two here.
Right.
I just wonder how the sort of, you know, that Patriots inverse offense with the running backs and the tight ends, with all the speed you have at linebacker in Jacksonville, I just don't think it's an ideal matchup. I think the Patriots might be out of weapons, not have enough on the outside to be able to beat this defense. So.
Yeah, they've already been bringing in receivers right after week one, the Patriots, so they want to get Gronk some help on that offense. This game here, we probably won't spend a ton of time on. Denver, -6 at home against the Raiders. Disastrous opener for John Gruden in Oakland. Big line, though, 6. Gar, what do you got?
Yeah, you know, I Oakland coming off the late Monday night game and going to the thin air, I think is a rough combination. Obviously, they have plenty of a changeover going on there too. They were a little bit banged up after Monday night, so I'm going Denver here. That's, you know, tough to have the -5.5 when you're a Case Keenum team, but yeah, I'm leaning Denver here.
I'll take the points. Yeah. I don't have a lot to say about it. I think Gary sort of segued in unintentionally there. I'm not laying that many points with Case Keenum in a team that's I'm still trying to figure out really what they have.
Yeah. And the total here is 46, which I think is pretty high, but Denver defense is good. It's an underplay for me, too, with Case Keenum. But, again, we'll be watching Patriots-Jaguars at this time probably. Sunday night, NBC, Cowboys giving a field goal to the Giants. We all picked the Giants last week. Let's see who's going to jump off the bandwagon. We start with Scott.
I'm still on the bandwagon. And I'm really, it's more that I'm still on the anti-Cowboys bandwagon.
Yeah, you did well last week picking the Panthers.
To be quite honest, I just think that, you know, right now, Giants are as good a team, if not better than the Cowboys. The Cowboys have serious issues. And again, I normally don't read a lot into what happens in the preseason, but we start to see signs of it. And with that offensive line banged up, I just think that... you know, it's just way too risky to take the Cowboys here. So I am, I like the Giants in this spot. Can't say I love them because right. there's still a, but I like the Giants.
Gary?
No, I complete agreement there. I'm going Giants on this one. You know, like we said, Giants, they can stop the run. They can't rush the passer. They can't necessarily cover for a long time, but it's not a problem when you're facing this Cowboys team.
Here we go again, because I like the Giants too. Like I said, I'm not going to let week one scare me. I think the Giants got did in by a very, very good defense.
Yeah.
The Cowboys don't have a very, very good defense.
Giants aren't good on the offensive line, but the Jaguars are unbelievably good on the defensive line. And
One thing... I thought Eli played well, and Giants usually do well in Dallas. They don't get scared by going into Dallas, so I like the Giants here. And then the week wraps up Monday night with the Bears of the heartbreaker Sunday night, giving 3 points at home, games in Chicago. They're giving 3 to the Seahawks, total here 43.5. Gary.
Yeah, I think I'm going to be a lone wolf on this one. I have Seattle in this one. I'm just not buying on the Bears yet. I think they're still working on what they have defensively. Roquan Smith, all of a sudden, they tried to play him for the entire second half last week. It didn't work out so well. Khalil Mack is still being eased in there. I always say Russell Wilson factor with the Seahawks. I mean, yes, they're not talented on offense, but Wilson can put up your 24, 27 points. I'm not buying what the Bears are doing offensively yet. And you saw it, everyone, if you were on Twitter Sunday night after the first quarter, this offense, it's the new age Bears. And then last three quarters, I think their last eight drives were...
It was the old age Bears.
It was 4 punts and a turnover on downs. And
yeah, you have new coaches. I think they get a little tight. Lambeau Field, the Rodgers coming back. I will say, I know it's against the law. I hope I don't get arrested if there are any cops. I know it's against the law to say anything negative about Aaron Rodgers this week. If Kyle Fuller knows how to catch, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers lose and the Bears win. To me, that game became about Aaron Rodgers. It was not. That game was about Kyle Fuller losing the game for the Bears. Bears should have won. I love the Bears this week. I think at home, the fans should be fired up. Khalil Mack is there now. Trubisky did not play well in the second half. I think this is a home road thing for me. If they were on the road this week, the Bears, I'd be nervous. I think at home, though, it helps them tremendously. And they should be 1-0 if their DB did not basically give the game away. Scott,
you knew the moment that happened that the game was over.
No doubt about it. Absolutely.
And it's you're right. I love the Bears here. I really do. And it's also, look, it's as much as I'm down on the Seahawks. And I threw it out earlier that 6-24 record. I mentioned earlier when I was talking about the Chiefs and the Seahawks too are back to back road games to start. Not a great road team to begin with. Pete Carroll. 2-11-1 against the spread in September games on the road. So I really do like the Bears a lot here. I think that it's a good matchup for them. I think it's a very weak defense for Seattle, and I think the Bears are going to win this one quite handily.
Now, before we get to our best bets, the one game we did not talk about this week is the Packers, because they're at home with the Vikings going into Lambeau. As of this taping, the Rodgers injury, we don't know if he's playing, not playing. There's no definitive word. I think he's playing. I've had sources tell me he's going to play. I'll just say this. Whether he plays or not, I'm picking the Vikings. Again, the Bears should have won that game last week. I was not impressed with the Packers. I think they're very limited on offense. I don't think their defense is great. I think the Vikings are the real deal. So whether he plays or not, I would bet the Vikings in this game. What do you guys thoughts on this one? We don't know what's going on, but
yeah, I was gonna say if Rodgers plays, I just wouldn't touch the game. I don't know what's going on with him.
If he plays, I don't think he's going to be 100%. I think the Vikings are the better team. I think we talked about in the preseason. I don't know if the Packers are a top 25 NFL team from player number two to player number 53.
I agree.
Because of that, I like the Vikings here. I mean, yeah, we have to see what the line is, but I think talking about it now, yeah, Vikings.
All right, Gary, how many best bets do you have here in week two of the NFL?
So I got three. I got the Saints. Sometimes it's that easy. I have the Steelers and I have the Texans. Right, so
Saints -8.5, Texans -2
at Tennessee, and then Steelers -4.5 at home against the Chiefs.
So three favorites for Gary. Scott, your best bets.
Love the Falcons. And I love the Bears. I would say that those are the ones I'm most confident about.
So Falcons -5.5 at home against Carolina, and the Bears -3 at home against the Seahawks.
That's correct.
Those are your two best bets.
Those are the two I'm going with.
I got a slew this week, which is ridiculous. Woo! For week two, but I love the Jets -3. I love the Eagles -3 at home against the Dolphins. Eagles -3 on the road at Tampa Bay. Sorry, Ryan Fitzpatrick, not happening again. Love the Rams -13 against the Cardinals. That's got 38-10 written all over it. And I love the Bears -3 against the Seahawks. So those are our best bets for week two. And enjoy the games. New England-Jacksonville, 4:25 Sunday. I'm sure everyone will be tuned in. And decent primetime games with Giants-Dallas and Seahawks-Bears. We will see you next week right here on the MMQB Gambling Podcast.
Tip of the hat to Albert, another strong edition of MMQB. Did you know your favorite team has a daily podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network? Steelers fans, we have you covered with Locked On Steelers. Cowboys fans, it's Locked On Cowboys. And Chiefs fans, it's Locked On Chiefs. You get the picture. Search Locked On, your favorite team. Search on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts for Locked On, your favorite team. Or tell your smart speaker to play podcasts Locked On, your favorite team. Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.